Asana helps teams plan, organize, and execute all the work they do together, so nothing falls through the cracks and everyone can focus on the work that matters most. Try Asana free. Visit asana.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, February 18th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. After a much longer wait than expected, Facebook has finally turned over a host of data. Data that could hold answers to how the company impacts elections or how fake news spreads on its platform. Tech reporter Jeff Horowitz will join us in a minute to talk all about it. That's after the break.
What if you could spend less time juggling email, meetings, and status updates, and more time doing the work that matters most to your team? Whether you're planning your next marketing campaign or launching new products, Asana reduces the busy work that wastes time. And we give teams clarity so they understand their plans and goals and how they'll achieve them together. Visit asana.com to try for free.
Facebook has turned over a trove of data to outside researchers, and it could unlock a lot of information about the kind of impact the social media company has on society. The problem is the data's come 2 years later than originally expected. Here to explain why is our tech reporter, Jeff Horowitz. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
This whole story starts back in 2018, and it was part of a project called Social Science One. Tell me a little bit about this initiative. What was the goal?
Sure. It came out of great interest after the 2016 presidential election in studying misinformation and sort of intentional misleading of users and polarization on the platform, and being able to research what Facebook's impact is on society at large. You can't do that unless you have access to really good data about how people use the platform. And there's only one entity in the world that has good access to data about how people use Facebook, and that's Facebook.
So Facebook agreed to give some of its data to these researchers?
Yeah, and this was pretty novel. Other companies, Google, for example, have sort of said they were going to kind of wait and see how this whole Facebook thing panned out before deciding whether they wanted to engage in something similar. But Facebook decided that they were going to support this outside, completely independent entity that would receive a vast amount of data about what people were sharing on the site. That was going to be the first sort of beachhead for this project. Then they were going, and then that organization was going to be able to distribute it to researchers who could then run independent, truly independent, no, you know, oversight from Facebook research projects on it and go public with their conclusions when they felt ready to do so.
So what were some of the things? Were they just looking at the U.S. elections or were they looking at other things as well?
No, this was global. So in Taiwan, researchers were looking at civic participation and Facebook, the influence there. In Chile, they were looking at how Facebook had affected the country's 2017 elections. There are sort of more broad research topics on just how misinformation spreads generally and kind of a, just a whole range of topics that were very broad, all mostly election focused, but very focused on that.
So Facebook agreed they were going to share this data. Researchers had projects lined up. They thought they were going to get the data within a couple of months. That was in 2018. What happened?
Yeah. So, and all of this was premised on outside funding from a whole bunch of philanthropies that sort of thought this was going to be moving along at a pretty fast clip. What happened is lawyers, probably. Basically, there were a whole bunch of privacy concerns that arose, partly due to GDPR in Europe, the Europe's data privacy law, partly due to Facebook's settlement with the FTC, and the concern was that kind of precisely because Facebook had gotten in trouble over the Cambridge Analytica stuff and with data being used for unauthorized purposes off the platform, it couldn't afford to mess up again in terms of privacy when it was working with researchers this time. And so this was a really painfully slow process. And it turns out Facebook was actually less good at just technically offloading data to researchers than it thought in the first place. And it also had to pioneer with some outside researchers ways to alleviate privacy concerns. It's called differential privacy. It's pretty technical, and there's no way you want me to explain that.
So where are we now? And I guess the big question is it even relevant to be researching the 2016 election or the 2017 election in Chile now in 2020 when we've got maybe different rules, different regulations in place and a whole new election to be looking at?
I think that, I mean, from the U.S. point of view, right, the most relevant thing would be 2016 or maybe the 2018 midterms. And the data doesn't go back, that Facebook's offering doesn't go back to 2016. But I think broadly the answer is yes. The level to which researchers understand who is using these platforms, how they're using the platforms, how polarization and political parties interact with these platforms, what context Kent succeeds, what's behind misinformation? These are kind of universal and broad questions and ones that no one has a particularly good answer to right now. I mean, we all have sort of vague theses, but outside the company, no one has the data to study them well.
Kind of broadening out, you said that other companies were looking at this as a test case and trying to determine whether or not they might share information in the future. This has taken a long time. You said lawyers got in the way. Is this one of those situations where we can say, oh, well, they've ironed out the kinks, and next time when someone wants to do a project like this, it's going to be way easier? Or, oh, they've realized how tricky it is, and this is going to be much harder for researchers to get access to this kind of data in the future?
That is an open question. Facebook is very much pitching this as, you know, it was painful, it was brutal, but you know what? We did it. We hit our initial goal, and we're committed to doing more. So, you know, good for them in terms of general public access to data. Whether anybody else is going to view this whole process as having been a success, though, is, and particularly whether anybody, any other of Facebook's competitors is going to view it that way, is an open question. I think partly that also depends on what comes out of the research, too. I mean, if Facebook has put a great deal of time, 2 years, and I believe 20 full-time staff members' efforts, plus some money, $11 million, Facebook says, into producing something that is going to result in a lot of research about how Facebook is problematic for society, I don't know if anybody is going to want to follow in their footsteps. And there is a possibility that's what's going to be happening here.
Yeah, that would be a hot potato. Tech reporter Jeff Horwitz, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, you're welcome.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. And if you want more news about Wall Street Journal podcasts, follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.